You're listening to a sermon from Redeemer Church in Omaha, Nebraska. For more information on Redeemer, visit RedeemerOmaha.org.
Well, all right. So do me a favor, if you would. Grab your Bibles and your sermon notes and make your way back to your seats. And we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be reading verses 51 and 52. So we're wrapping up Matthew 13. We'll wrap it up next week. But this has been I don't know about you, but this has been a great series for me. I'm not really sure I've walked away from another series that I've preached and have had more stuff kind of stick with me. And so I've been excited about this. Hope you have too. We're going to be looking there, Matthew 13, 51 through 52. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one of those black ones. And we are on page 819 in that Bible. And we're going to do something a little bit different this morning that I hope to continue doing. We're going to do this because I was reminded of something this week. And I was reminded of really kind of a foundational scripture for me, which is found in Nehemiah chapter 8. It kind of shaped just sort of my ministry. It's one of those things that really kind of shaped and informed it. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra reads the Bible and reads the scriptures, and he has everybody stand, and then he explains the scriptures and helps them to understand the scriptures. Actually, I think he had them stand the whole time, but I'm not going to do that to you. So I tell you what, here's what we are going to do, though. I want you to stand up, and then we're going to read the scriptures together. Now, all right, we're going to stand up, and here's why we're standing up. Because the words that we're about to read are different than all the other words that you're going to hear this morning. Okay? What we're about to read is God's word. The rest of the stuff that we are going to say, while we hope that it is inspired and moved by the Spirit, it is different than these words. Okay, so I want you to stand so that that's marked in our minds, that we remember that these are different. There's something different about these things. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 51, it says this: "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." Let's read that again, since it's short. "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." And then the second thing that we're going to do, we try to do this every week, sometimes I forget. We're going to pray. Because here's the thing, we just read God's words, but we need God's Spirit to teach us and instruct us on what those things mean. So let's pray together. And what you need to do is, we're praying, every time we pray before the sermon, every time Jared's praying, you need to be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, to open your ears, and to soften your hearts so you're ready to hear from what God has to say to you. Okay, so let's pray. Father, God, we come to you with empty hands. God, we have nothing to offer you this morning. My words cannot change a mind, cannot change a heart. But Father, we come knowing that the Spirit is present with us. And so, Father, I pray that the Spirit would do his work of convicting of sin, of instructing us in righteousness and teaching us truth. And I pray, God, that you would use the Spirit and your word to change us today, so that we would turn to Jesus, that we would cling to Jesus, that we would trust him instead of ourselves, and that, Father, we would begin to follow him and experience joy that comes in that. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you can be seated. I'll try not to forget that part. All right, that'll make for a long morning. All right, so we've been going through Matthew chapter 13, and here's the big idea. Okay, I know when we talk about some of the language that's used in those verses, it's a little bit odd, so I'm just going to kind of help you understand the big idea. All right, the big idea is this: as a follower of Jesus, that you were to do two things. You were to learn to feed yourself through the Holy Spirit teaching you the Word of God, so that you're feeding yourself, and then you are to turn around and you're to feed others. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that's the big idea that Jesus is getting across to us here. What he has done is he's been teaching all these stories Matthew 13, he's been saying, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. 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 And then he goes, have you understood these things? And the people say, yes. And so he says, okay, because you understand these things, then here's what you are to do. And he begins to teach us that we are to do three things. We're going to see them there. Jesus says two things. I'm going to make it three because I think there's part of what he's saying in one that we're going to miss if we're not careful. So we're going to break it out and say three things. The three things that he says is this, that first you're to be a learner. Every follower of Jesus is a learner. We are going to have to unlearn things that we have grown up and kind of been building up in understanding about how life works. In fact, what Jesus has been doing is he's been saying, this is how you thought the world worked. This is how you thought your kingdom functioned. But let me tell you, there's a different kingdom that's a reality, the kingdom of heaven, and it's all different than what you thought your kingdom was like. And so he begins to kind of turn our view of what life is like and our lives are like on its head. And then he says, it's actually completely different than that. And so we're having to constantly go through a process of unlearning certain things, but then learning new things and other things as we follow Jesus. So all of us are to be a learner. We see that because Jesus says this, have you understood these things? They say, yes. And he says, okay then, excuse me, because you've understood those things, sorry, it's going to be one of those mornings. Because you've understood those things, you're to be like a scribe. A scribe. Now, who was a scribe? A scribe was a role that was formed in Jewish religious culture back in Ezra's time. And so Ezra created this office, and they were in charge of protecting and preserving and understanding the scriptures and applying them to everyday life. That's what a scribe was supposed to do. Now, what had happened is, over time, that role had changed a little bit, and instead of just worrying about protecting the scriptures and understanding them and applying them to everyday life, they had developed some things that they thought because of that, and they had really moved to sort of protecting those traditions and those ideas, or the way that they did things. Okay, the way that they had interpreted things, the way that they had said the scriptures were to be interpreted. Now they were less worried about the scriptures and more worried about the things that they were teaching. Okay, and so Jesus says, listen, there's something good about a scribe that you need to emulate. And that is that they are serious about the scriptures. And he says, you are to be like a scribe. You are to be a learner. Okay, you're to be constantly learning more and more and more about the scriptures. That is your source of life, because Jesus even said it himself. He said in John chapter 5, he said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. So he says, you know, you're searching the scriptures and that's good, but the problem is you think that just by knowing the scriptures you're going to have life. But what you need to understand is something different. Instead, it's not just the search of the scriptures that you're going to find life. And it is they that bear witness about me, Jesus, yet you refuse to come to me, Jesus, that you may have life. So the whole point is this. We're to be learning the scriptures, but we're not learning them like a dry textbook or something like that. We're to be looking at the scriptures and understanding there's a key to understanding these scriptures. And the key to understanding the scriptures is Jesus. And when we use the key of Jesus to unlock the scriptures, then what we begin to see is that Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me, that I am the center of it all, that I am the focus of it all, that I am the answer to everything. Like we saw last week, no matter what your struggle is, no matter what your problem is, the answer is to turn to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, that's what we need to understand. So we need to be a learner who is going to come to the scriptures and in them see Jesus and come to Jesus and find life. Now, here's the problem. Here's what this looks like today. Okay? So we come to the scriptures and we want to learn today. Here's what we do. Okay? We say, all right, so I got my scriptures, I got my Bible. Okay? Now I need to learn about Jesus. So we put that down. I don't know that I can understand that. I don't know that I understand everything about that. I need to get some help. So we go and we usually find a study Bible, right? So we say, I got a study Bible. Now, when I read something and I go, what in the world does that mean? Then I read at the bottom and I get what some smart dude tells me that means, right? Okay, now, I want to say everything you're going to see this morning is something that I actually like, okay? So I actually recommend for people to get this particular study Bible, okay? But here's what we do. We take it, we put it down, and we go, okay, now I can understand the Bible because now I have a buddy in my pocket, except it won't really fit in your pocket, but we got a buddy with us that can tell us what it means. And so we start reading that. And then we go back and we say, you know what? There's people that I like that talk about the scriptures. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to buy some books by some people that I like. And I'm going to read these books that talk about the scriptures. And so I'm going to immerse myself and I'm going to read these books. Listen, is it wrong to read books by people that are writing about the Bible? No. In fact, I would recommend this book, right? If you go back into the third bay over there, there's some bookshelves. And in the bookshelves, there's a shelf that says Pastor's Choice or something like that. And so Jared and I have stocked that with all kinds of books that we think would be profitable for you. And we would encourage you to read those books, okay? They're good books, right? But we come back and we get a book and then we go like, oh, okay, now I there's still stuff I don't know. So I'm going to get harder books, right? And we get a bigger book. And maybe we start going to like really formal classes, a theology book. I just wanted you to know that I have one. Because some of y'all don't believe I do, right? So like we have a theology book and we start reading that and that's telling us all about the scriptures. And so we're reading this book and then we come back and we go, you know what? There's other smart people who've lived lives and we go and we read books about smart people that have followed Jesus and loved Jesus and we put those down and we read those. And then we go and we say, you know what? I need to go to a conference, right? And so I'm going to go to a conference and I'm going to get some notes about some stuff that talks about the Bible. And then I'm going to read that and I'm going to know that and I'm going to get smart. And then I'm going to go and the church that I go to, the preacher can't preach very good. So I'm going to go and I'm going to buy some sermons by some preachers that I like. And then I'm going to put the sermons on there and that's what I'm going to do. Here's the problem. Yeah, that's one problem, right? Here's a problem. One problem is you have lots of things there, and if you're like most people, you never even read most of those things. Here's the other problem. When you are reading those things, what you're reading are men's words about God's words. And let me say this. There's no man that has ever gotten it right. Okay? Now listen to me, okay? Please listen to me. I am a pastor, in case you didn't know. I try almost every week. And when I say almost every week, there's weeks that I don't preach. That's what I mean. Every week that I preach, I try to make sure, like Peter says, that when I am speaking as one who has the very words of God. Okay? I take that very seriously. I try to make sure that everything I say lines up with what God says. Yet, I will tell you this. I am not perfect. I am not infallible. I do not understand it all. And so if you are relying on me to teach you everything that God actually says, then you are actually going to be missing what God is saying in some cases. Or I'll put it a different way. I may even say it exactly right. But the way that I say it is not as good as you hearing it for yourself. Okay? I mean, listen, I would trade everything that I have ever said if you could simply hear God's voice for yourself. And you can. Okay? That's why I'm teaching you this. So the problem is we're looking at this, and you see, we're kind of going through all these words from all these people, and then we're getting down to the Bible. These things, all of these things, there's nothing wrong with these things. But they're in the wrong place. Because where they should be is they should be here, and this should be here. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say don't read. I'm not trying to say don't learn. I'm not trying to say go deeper. What I'm saying is go here first. And if you can't go here, don't go there. Right? Listen, I will tell you where I got a lot of this. I had a kid came up to me. It's a friend of Jackson's. He came up at Jackson's graduation. He said, I'm going off to school, to Bible college. Could you give me some advice? And I said, yeah, here's what I would tell you. You're about to start studying the Bible. And you're going to start studying the Bible like a textbook. But you need to make sure that you don't exchange your study of the Bible as a curriculum in your classes for the food that you're going to eat every day. And in the same way, you don't need to exchange any of this for the food that God wants to feed you every day. So you need to start here. And if you don't have time to do this, if you don't have time to come here and learn from here first, don't waste time going here. You understand? Jesus says we're to be a learner, and what we're to be learning is the scriptures. The scriptures. Okay? And so we start with the scriptures, and then as we go through the scriptures, we begin to see, you know what? As I look through the scriptures at all of these things, you know what you begin to find out? There's places that you don't agree with all of these things because of what the scriptures have told you. Okay? And so you want to be a learner. You want to be learning and start with the scriptures. All right? Second thing is this. Not only do we want to learn from the scriptures, but the second thing is we don't want to just be a learner, but we also want to be a doer, okay? And so I want to read this in a different translation. Took a screenshot of it. In the New American Standard, it says this. In verse 52, it says, "And Jesus said to them, therefore every scribe," told you what a scribe is, who's learning, "who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so you see he introduces it. He says, in the ESV it says, "who has been trained." But here it says, "every scribe who becomes a disciple." And the difference between just a scribe and a disciple is this. A scribe is someone who can talk about this. They could tell you far more about the Old Testament than I could tell you about the Old Testament. They know the word really, really well. But they don't do anything with what they know. Like Jesus said, you know the scriptures. Well, I'm the centerpiece of the scriptures, and you won't come to me. That's the first thing, right? So listen to me. Don't hear anything else that I'm saying until you first hear the first thing you do is come to Jesus. Jesus is the key to it all. It is not like you do all these things and you work your way, you claw your way, you climb your way, you fight your way to Jesus. That's not it at all. You come to Jesus, you turn and you take a step to Jesus, and Jesus runs to meet you. And then Jesus says, now come with me. And that's what I'm talking about here, is that we're going with Jesus. And so we're to not just be a learner, but we're also to be a doer. So we use the word disciple, but a better word would be this. A better word really for us and our understanding would be an apprentice. Okay, there's a difference here. If you have an apprentice, so let's say that you're an electrician, and then you have an apprentice who comes alongside. What are you going to do with that apprentice? Yeah, you're going to show them everything you know. And then what are they going to do? They're going to start hooking up wires and stuff, right? Yeah, they're actually going to start doing electrician-y kind of things, right? I don't know what those things are. Like, I don't know anything about it, right? So, you know, if you're a plumber's apprentice, I have a friend in Florida. He had a plumbing business. He had his son. His son became an apprentice to him, and now his son does plumbing. Yes, he actually does it. He actually goes out in the truck with his toolbox. He does the service calls. He does all the plumby things. I do know what some of those things are, and I'm not enthused at all, right? But that's what he does. And so the idea is he's an apprentice, and what Jesus is saying is this. You come with me, I'm going to teach you some things, and then I'm going to want you to go and do those same things. Okay, I was reading in Luke this week as just part of my feeding myself. I was reading in Luke, and I saw that Jesus said he went, and everywhere he went, he preached the kingdom, and he healed people. And then he gathered the 12 around and he said, hey guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to preach the kingdom and I want you to heal people. And then they came back and then he got 72 people. And he said, hey guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go preach the kingdom and heal people. You see, they were just doing what Jesus had done, and that's what Jesus wants us to do as well. So we need to be doers of the word. We need to hear what he's saying, and then we need to do it. Notice, Jesus himself even says this in John chapter 4, verse 34. So the story is this. There's the woman at the well, and so Jesus and the disciples have been walking around. They're all tired. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Jesus sits down at the well. He sends the 12 off to go find food. And he sits down at the well, and a woman comes out who's a very broken, sinful woman. Jesus begins to talk to her. He begins to point her to himself as the source of life, to himself as the Messiah. And she drops everything and goes back to the city and begins to tell everybody there, there's a man who's told me everything that I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? And the entire village starts coming out. While the people are coming out of the village to come to Jesus, the 12 come back. And the 12 come back and they're like, hey, Jesus, we found food. You want something to eat? And he said this. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And what Jesus is teaching here is this, that he learns by actually doing what God is showing him and speaking to him and saying to him. Jesus is actually nourishing himself. He's feeding himself. He's doing what God has said. And that's what God says for us as well, that he wants us not just to learn stuff and know stuff, but he wants us to actually put it into practice. And as we put it into practice, we're going to experience joy and life and fullness because we're going to be walking with Jesus and doing things in partnership with him. And as we experience joy and life and fullness, then Jesus, well, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we find strength and we find joy and we find life as we begin to walk with Jesus and allow him to do his work through us. So we want to learn how, these are the two things that Jesus says. It's like a scribe who's become a disciple. Okay, we want to be a disciple and it involves two things, learning and doing. Learning and doing. And so guys, what my desire for you is that you would every day learn to take this word and listen to the Holy Spirit and learn to feed yourself from this word as you listen to the Holy Spirit. My goal for you every day is that you would hear God speak to you through his word by the Holy Spirit and that you would then respond in obedience to whatever it is that he shows you. And by doing that, you're going to learn to feed yourself. You're going to learn to feed yourself. Now listen, what's the first thing that somebody learned how to cook? Pizza. Like now pizza, what kind of pizza? Cheese. And did this pizza come in a box? Oh, no, you did the real thing, huh? You just went varsity, right? Yeah, okay, how about somebody else? Cereal, right? We need to define cook. Yeah, right. Yeah, you learn to feed yourself, right? You know, like, yeah, my mom used to do that too. She was like, you hungry? Yep, there's cereal in the closet, right? You unscrew the milk, you know, or eat it dry for all I care. I don't get, not, my mother wasn't like that, but yeah. Yeah, but you know, you learn. I know my boys, they took classes in school, and one of the first things they learned to cook was eggs, like scrambled eggs, right? So they learned to scramble eggs. But you know, you really want to move on from scrambled eggs, right? You want to move on from cheese pizza, most people do. You know, you want to move on from those things, and then you want to grow in that, okay? And the way that you move on from that is you learn how to do those things, and then you learn to do more, and you learn to do more, and you learn to do more. And the same thing is true spiritually, too, that God says, as you take that first step, as you listen to me, as you learn from me, as you're responding to me, then you're going to know how to do other things. People ask me, you know, because I told my story, and I said, like, yeah, you know, like, we moved from Florida. We moved out here to Nebraska. We didn't know anybody. We didn't have anybody at a church, whatever. We just started meeting and kind of, you know, planted this church, and it's kind of grown to where it is now. And people are like, how did you know to do that? Well, it wasn't like just one day I just woke up, and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to move to Nebraska, and I want you to plant a church. That looked like 15 years prior to that, maybe even longer prior to that, but probably about 15 years before that. It started looking like most every day I would get up and I would feed myself on the scriptures and I would say, God, What are you saying to me today? I want to hear from you today, and then I want to do what you're asking me to do. And you know what? Those things look very, very simple and very, very basic sometimes. Sometimes it was like, I want you to open the Bible tomorrow, right? Or I want you to go find your Bible and then open it up. You know, like you kind of misplaced it a long time ago, and I want you to find. So it'd be some kind of simple steps, but as you begin to take the steps, you begin to move along, you begin to grow. So notice, here's what we want you to do. Here's kind of a goal for you. And by goal, I don't mean you have to do this today, but this would be kind of the progression that I see for everybody. I would love for everybody, and maybe it is a goal. You just go like, maybe you're all in, cheese pizza kind of guy. And so you just want to go, you know what? I want to go all in, right? But I think a basic level I would love to see everybody at is this, that you read through the scriptures, that you read through the Bible every year. Every year you read through the Bible. Okay? I've been doing that. And I'll tell you why I started doing that. I was sitting in somebody's house with a couple of other people, and we were talking to somebody that wasn't a believer. And he said, do you even believe the Bible? And we were like, yeah, we believe the Bible. And he's like, have you ever read the Bible? Like all of it? And I was like, well, see, because like, no. And so I started reading the Bible. And so it's my goal every year to read the Bible at least through in a year. And what does that look like? That would mean every day you read 2 chapters from the Old Testament, 1 chapter from the New Testament. So 3 chapters a day. There's other, you know, we've got another plan that we're going through together that you read, say, 5 chapters a day, 5 days a week. You know, whatever. Maybe you go like, I'm not a cheese pizza kind of guy. You know, I'm not like varsity. I don't want to go all in. Well, why don't you read the New Testament this year? And you start that. But my goal would be that every day you're reading something. And as you're reading, here's what you do. You're going to ask yourself 3 questions. What does it say? Just what does it say? Put it in your words. So I shared this morning, I can't remember the verse in Proverbs, but it says, I can't remember it. But anyway, the point of it is that whenever the stall is empty, the manger is clean. But with the strength of an ox comes much abundance, right? And so I was thinking about that. I said, what does this say? Like, what is it saying? And I said this, if you want to accomplish anything, you're going to have to deal with a lot of crap. Right? That's just what it says. I mean, it says, if you have a farm and you don't have any cows, you're going to have a very clean stall. You're also going to get absolutely nothing done. But if you want to get some stuff done, you're going to have lots of cows and there's going to be lots of mess everywhere to stay busy with cleaning up. Okay, what does it say? What does it say? Okay, then the second question would be this. How can I obey? How can I obey what I'm seeing here? And you know, for me, so a way that I can obey is to realize this, that in pursuing the kingdom of God, there's going to be lots and lots of different perspectives and thoughts and ideas and stuff like that. And so I have to kind of work together with other people that don't just look at me and go, yep, you're brilliant. I want to do exactly what you want to do. But there are people that say, no, you know, we kind of feel called this way, and we're going to do these things. And so there's always going to be some tension. There's always going to be some mess. It means, for me, another way that I obey is realizing this. When I look at people that God is at work in their lives are going to be messy sometimes. And by messy, I mean messed up in a way different than my life is messed up, okay? I don't mean like they're messed up and I'm not. I just mean they're messed up in, you know, dirtier ways maybe or just more evident ways. I can hide mine better than they can. You know, that's all I mean. So obey. And then the third thing is this, what can I share? So who could I pass that along to? Who could I share that with? Which leads us into this next thing. Because we're to be a learner and a doer. That means that every day we're feeding ourselves on the Word of God. And listen to me. When we talk about feeding ourselves, a lot of times I get criticized when I talk about this because people go, you will never grow and you will never become mature if all you're doing is focusing on simple things like this. But I'm not talking about staying simple. I'm talking about every day you're hearing what God wants for your life. And listen to me, that goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with every step. And it begins to change. Okay, so you just keep taking those steps every day, and what you're going to find out, listen, my life looks today very different 25 years after I started this process than it did the day that I started. I would hope that it looks deeper. Some people might disagree, but I would hope that it looks deeper, right? The third thing is this, that you're to be a teacher. that you're to be a teacher. And what I mean by that, it says here, they're like the master of the house that brings in from what is old and what is new and feeds others. The idea is this, that we're learning and that we're doing, we're feeding ourselves, but then we're turning around and we're trying to feed other people. The path to maturity is you hearing the word of God and you doing the word of God, not somebody else telling you the things that you need to do or telling you what God is saying for you. See, a lot of times people come in and they say, you know what, I don't want to learn myself. I would much rather come in and have you tell me what to do, because I would never see what you see in the Bible. But listen to me. What that is like is this. You may say, me hearing from God, it's like scrambled eggs. Or on a really good day, it's like cheese pizza. But what I want is steak. And so I like to come here so I can eat steak. You know what? Maybe you can. Or maybe you could go somewhere else and you could hear something that you would equate with steak. But let me tell you what that steak's like. That steak is like, it's a good steak. It's grilled nice and it's medium rare. You know, so it's got a little pink in there. You know, not like blood oozing all over the plate or anything like that. But, you know, but it's nice and it's pink. And it's cut up. And, oh, man, it's succulent. I mean, it's marbled well, so there's lots of fat and juices. And you can take, it's delicious. And so what I do is I chew it up, and I suck all that juice and all that taste out, and then I spit it on the plate and go, here, dig in. Man, it's steak. It's steak. And listen, I know it's gross, but that's also how it works. Because listen to me, it doesn't matter how good I present what I studied this week. You don't understand how good it was, the stuff that God told me. There's very few days that I walk out, very few Sundays that I walk out and went, yes. Most Sundays I walk out going like, oh, there was so much that I didn't get out. There was so much that I didn't get communicated. Why? Because God was speaking to me through the scriptures. And you think it's excellent, but I'm just saying you missed all the good part. You've got to learn to feed yourself, because if you feed yourself, it's so much better than me feeding you. It's so much better than me feeding you. And so you are to learn, and then you're also to be a teacher. So I learned that this week. I went to Jan's group this week. I went to Jan's group because Lynn invited me. And so they were hosting it. And Lynn said, hey, why don't you come to my group? Come to our group. And I said, okay, great. And then he said, you know, I'm smoking pork. And I was like, dude, let me get my calendar out. It's down. I'm there. So I go in and I said, listen, and Fred was teaching. So I said, I'm not going to say anything, because if I start talking, I can't stop. You guys know, right? I mean, you're like, yeah, we got it. And so I said, I'm not going to talk. And so I just sat there and I just listened. And it was amazing. The things that were brought out by everybody that was in part of this group. And listen, the people in this group, there were some people who are very early in their steps of following Jesus. There were other people who were very far along, many years down the road in their steps of following Jesus. And all kinds of people in between. And so they went to a very easy section of the scriptures to discuss. They flipped to the Old Testament, to the book of Nehemiah. Just a quick quiz. How many people can find the book of Nehemiah just like that? How many of you know where it is? Yeah, like three of you. All right, cool. The rest are like, it's in the table of contents, you know? I can find it, right? So the book of Nehemiah, Old Testament book, kind of obscure book, whatever. It's a great book, by the way. I love it. But they just started going through and saying, like, what did God show you in the scriptures this week? And it was amazing to listen to the things that they came out of. You know what they said? They said, I see the Great Commission here. You say, the Great Commission in Nehemiah? Yeah. Because they gathered all of the people together, and they stood up, and they read from the Word of God. I told you about that earlier. They read from the Word of God, and they explained what it meant, and all the people rejoiced because they could understand what God had said. And then they respond by doing exactly what God had asked them to do. And so they were rejoicing. And so then they said, okay, so the Great Commission's in there that we're to be teaching people how to hear from God and how to obey him. And then Fred said, so who did the teaching? And they said, well, the priest did. And so he's like, okay, so who are the priests today? And people were like, Lee. They didn't say that, but that was kind of the idea. You know, it's like we're looking to the priest to teach us. We want them to, you know? Yeah, I got y'all with that one. You're going to remember that one forever. And Fred said, here's the thing. Who are the priests today? Then he said, let's look in 1 Peter. And 1 Peter says this, you are a kingdom of priests and a holy people. And so the thing is, today, you, every single one of you, is called to hear God speak to you by the Holy Spirit through His Word, to do what He's asked you to do, to take that next step of obedience, and then to pass that along and teach somebody else. So in that group, one of the things that came out, somebody said, I have a family member that is far from God. I need to talk to them about their relationship with Jesus. And so that was on Thursday. And on Friday, they did that. And their family member said, this is good. I needed to hear this. I want to do this. I want to follow Jesus. And so I talked to them and I said, so this is excellent, because you know what it means? You are learning how to follow Jesus. And so you were taking steps to follow Jesus. And now, you know what? You can turn around and help your family member to take the same steps that you took. And as you're growing and as you're taking steps, you are staying a few steps ahead of them. You can always help them take the next steps. Listen, there are people all throughout this room. And you say, I don't know that much. But you know more than somebody who's not following Jesus, right? And so when you encounter somebody who doesn't know Jesus, you can teach them where you have come. And you go, maybe the only thing that I know is to turn to Jesus. Like, I've wrecked my life, and Jesus says He will fix it if I'll turn from my sin and trust in Him. Tell them. That's like a step, right? I mean, you know, when you got a story, you're like, man, I just totally wrecked my life. And then Jesus came and began putting it back together, because I just simply turned from that life and I turned to Jesus. And I just said, Jesus, here I am, right? Like, you can tell somebody that, right? That's a step. And then when they do that, you can go, okay, well, here's the next thing that I learned. And you can take it to the next step. There are others of you that you know lots and lots and lots. Like, you know, maybe you know more about the Bible than I know. Some of you are like, that wouldn't be hard. Maybe you do. And I would say this, if you know lots and lots and lots about the scriptures, like you're like the scribes, and you've got tons of knowledge about the scriptures, but you've never done anything with it. You've just sat on it and thought, listen, I can show off, I can like quote verses and give obscure facts, and I can find Nehemiah. Take that. You know? Like you're just like, I got all this knowledge. I would say it's like this. This is what it was like in my life. It was like this big pile of wood. You know, and I would go to church and I would take a log and I would throw it on the pile. And I'd take a log and I'd throw it on the pile. And I'd take a log and I'd throw it on the pile. And for about 20 years I did that. And I was like, man, this is empty. There is nothing to this. And then this is not helping me at all. And I turned my back on it. I said, forget about this. I'm going to do my own thing. And I began to walk away. And then God began to speak to me. And somebody spoke to me and said, listen, let me tell you something. You've been listening to the scriptures, but the key to the scriptures is Jesus. And Jesus came to find you, and Jesus wants you to follow Him. And it was like somebody took a torch and stuck it to that pile of wood, and it was like a bonfire that blew up. And some of you are exactly like that. But God wants you to take the next step and tell somebody else what He has already taught you. He wants you to simply turn and start following Him step by step by step by step. And you think that's going to be shallow. You think that's going to end up in nothing happening in your life. You think, you know, nobody's ever going to become this deep, mature follower like that. But listen to me. As you take step by step by step by step, what you find out is Jesus led you way out into the deep end. And the only thing holding you up is Jesus. And my friend, that is a mature believer. I had somebody critiquing that this week, and they said you can never become a mature believer like that. Just simply reading the scriptures and hearing stuff and taking a step. And I said, really? Then you need to speak to people around the world that are doing this exact thing. They don't have all of this stuff. The only thing, if they're lucky, they have is this. And sometimes they just got a scrap of this, or maybe a book of this, or just a word from this. They don't have much at all, but they've just got this, and they know Jesus, and they're saying, you know what? I'm going to take a step. And there are people that are coming alongside, and they're whacking their heads off. They're locking them in buildings and setting the buildings on fire, where their screams cry out as they die, and they're never never turning away from Jesus. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. That is a mature believer. That's a mature believer. Somebody who in the face of their own life is not going to turn away from Jesus. So don't tell me you can't get mature this way. It's the only way. And so I want to encourage you this morning, take that step. Maybe it's the first step, or maybe it's a long way down in the pattern, but take the first step and keep taking the next step. You say, what if it messes up? What if I mess it up? What if I mess it up? You know, what if I fail? You're not going alone. Jesus is with you, and Jesus is the one that's going to accomplish anything through it. So come to Jesus, and then walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that shows us the way to life. Thank you for Jesus who has given us access to that life. And not just life after we die, but God, life today. God, help us find joy in walking with Jesus moment by moment, day by day, week by week, for the rest of our lives. God, I pray that this morning you would take your word, and then by the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just set it on fire in our hearts. That, Father, you would set our lives ablaze for your glory. And that, Father, people would look and not see us. They would simply see the greatness of Jesus. We ask all of this in his name. Amen.